Millennial
Nostalgia Berry
Podcast with Herschel,
Jeffrey,
and Crunchy, and away we go!
Hello out there. Welcome again to the Millennial Nostalgia Berry Podcast. As always, I am Herschel.
Jeffrey.
And unfortunately, Crunchy is not here to join us.
Yeah, he's visiting family back in the old Minnesota. And yeah. We wish him happy holidays.
Back in the U.S. of A. It's where all the berries hail from.
Yeah.
So, as always, the MNB podcast is bringing you nostalgia berry goodness of the movie, music, and video game variety. Mm. Although we don't have a movie today.
No.
Because Crunch Berry is not with us.
But we have music and a video game.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Good stuff. So I want to talk about something today. I was making this longanisa today, and I was remembering...
That's a Filipino traditional sausage for all of you out there.
Yeah, other than my traditional sausage.
Sausage.
So I was getting... I remember when I was getting this longanisa, and the guy that I was getting it from, he goes, "You know how to cook this longanisa, right?" And immediately, without even fucking thinking, I'm like, "Yeah, fuck, of course I know how to fucking cook it." Even though I had no idea how to cook this motherfucking thing. Apparently, so I went home, looked it up, and you have to put water in first, steam it, and then you have to, when the water and the juice comes out of the sausage, and then you got to boil it down, and then you have to fry it. And that's how you cook longanisa, apparently. But I had no clue. Mm. But my immediate first response was like, "Fuck yeah, of course, I'm a fucking guy. Like, I know exactly, like, I know what I'm doing."
It's not because you're a half Filipino guy.
I'm half Filipino, whoever it is.
Sure.
I can do it. And
so
I just thought...
Arrogance.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that just immediate arrogance. I mean, is that just a natural thing? People are like, "Fuck yeah, I got this." Like,
I fall victim to the same, same feeling. And normally for me, it's when I'm bickering with my wife. That tends to be where the arrogance comes out, because you dig yourself into that hole.
Have you ever fucking mined for oil? I have, clearly. Okay, I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I think actually, I was just talking about this in a class with my kids today, about how the American personality, it's not the best and the brightest who rise to the top. It's those who are best at
and the fucking loudest
at projecting an aura of confidence, whether it's real or not. That's what I think.
That's a good.
Children growing up in America are taught that it's actually not about your skill level. I mean, Kim Kardashian and Donald Trump are not the most talented or the most intelligent or any most
of anything. Most orange.
Right. Right. Yeah. That makes me sad.
Most good at doing something and then getting nothing, like getting everything for doing nothing.
I find nowadays my patriotism is more theoretical than real. Like, I'm patriotic about what America stands for, but I'm not patriotic about what America has become.
Does it still stand for that? Yeah, okay. Like you just said, you answered that question. I don't think it stands for that anymore. I mean, the American dream was, what, the 1930s, 1940s? Like, would you say that's a fair assessment? I know that's the Depression, but then people still rose from the bottom. They could do that then. Now you can't do that.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that the American dream is about immigrants, and that's been forgotten.
Yeah.
You know,
that is the American dream. You move to America, you start up nothing, then you rise from the top. Now you just, there's no immigrants. Mm. Got to kick the Muslims out. Got to kick everyone out.
Well, I often think that immigration is kind of like some sort of, almost like an antibody or a cleanser for global culture. If there wasn't any immigration,
why?
I don't think there would be as much progress in the world as there has been.
Yeah.
I think immigrants are the people that are the most hardworking. Mm-hmm. They are kind of naturally selected in the sense that they have chosen to take action.
The harder road.
It's the harder road.
Yeah.
They decided to leave.
The road less traveled.
Exactly. Which poet said that?
I think Bobby Snow said that, right?
That's real close.
Really close. Okay, I got him close.
Bobby Frost.
Bobby Frost. No, his friends call him by Bobby Frost.
But I've taught that poem.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I really like that poem. It's good.
Me too.
Anyway, what were you saying?
It's just It's actually something it is a lot where my confidence comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I take a lot of pride in the fact that I am an immigrant in a lot of ways. I left my home country and I moved to China, and I've created a life for myself here, mm-hmm. in spite of all of the challenges. And I think that has been a positive, not just for me, but for the people around me. Because coming here, obviously there's some selfish reasons I came here,
mm-hmm.
but in general, I feel that I found a place where my talents are most suited for benefiting the people around me.
Yeah. Do you think that, do you think that taking those, like you said, despite all the challenges that we have here in China, do you think you would take that kind of mindset, diligence, that work ethic, and then you could apply it into America? Would you just you'd be a millionaire immediately? Because sure, they have all these difficulties, but language is definitely not one of them. Like, a massive problem every day, language and cultural differences that you just have to deal with, and you have to maverick these different ways of putting things together to find the solution, even though they're sometimes things just seem upside fucking down. Like, might as well live in the Southern Hemisphere where the toilet moves this way. Like, it's ridiculous. Like today, I always bring up the metro, but this kid just runs in there. I'm trying to get out. I'm like, why, man? Like, you literally stop and then you ran into the line. Like, you can't go past me. I'm not getting any smaller.
On the other hand, again, talking about the metro, the metro works so well here.
It does.
And it's so cheap
and
so convenient. And despite the fact that a lot of Chinese people have not been acculturized, or some word like that, into the
acclimated?
Acclimated into the norms of efficient mass transit behavior, all for all other purposes, it's an incredible convenience that I have here. Even I read the local New York news sometimes, and the New York subway system is fucked. It's never been in worse condition.
Really? Why?
Record highs of delays, of broken down cars, because there's been poor public investment for decades, and no politician wants to step up and make hard decisions and fix a system that is, I think, 100 years old, maybe more. So they have these electrical systems, these switching systems that are ancient, and they do this patchwork repair stuff. But I mean, we live in a city where they developed a lot later, so they started from the ground up with much better technology, and
they also have a lot more people.
And they have a lot more people willing to work for pennies.
For nothing, yeah.
And they have an authoritarian government.
Literal dick. Yeah. Just noodles only. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, obviously, you can't generalize. But that is a good point about the metro system. They're getting better. There was one of my teachers we were talking today, and he was like, yeah, I think they're getting worse. I'm like, pretty sure they're getting better. At least they stand on the right side of the escalators now.
That's true. Good. Well, you see the ads.
Yeah.
You see that they have the cartoons.
Which I find the most hilarious. For the listeners out there, they have these cartoons that...
cartoons are great.
That they just show proper metro and just being in the metro and getting on the metro etiquette.
Right.
Like, one of them is this old lady or this middle-aged to older lady, and she's running onto the metro and then pushing people out of the way. And then it has this big, no sign.
Right.
You should wait in line like a regular human being.
I love the one where they're on the escalator.
Oh, yeah,
and there's a magic ghost, which is the subway icon, who just comes up and pushes them to straighten up and not get their head decapitated by the oncoming staircase. Yeah.
Don't not watch for your head being smashed into the ceiling. Good God.
Yeah, that's some funny stuff living here.
I don't know. It's good.
But getting back to the original conversation about being an immigrant, I do have to check my privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kind of immigrant I am is not really something I can compare to a Mexican who crosses the border and becomes a farmhand.
Right.
They have much more intense challenges than I can even imagine.
An understatement. Right.
So I don't want to equate myself with that sort of struggle.
This motherfucker Herschel's trying to tell me
Exactly. No, because I can hear the
yeah.
some people listening to me thinking, he's just, you know, he's just super privileged, annoying snowflake dude, you know. But I will say, getting back to the original point, that I just think immigration is a healthy thing.
Yeah.
That traveling is good, but even better is if you can make the sacrifice of leaving your home and finding a home in another part of the world.
Well,
because,
immigration is, I mean, now that you said that, that's how I think I grew the most. Like being put in another country that you have no, like, again, they have language problems. Couldn't speak Mandarin at all when I got here. Couldn't do shit. Like, didn't even know the numbers. Just ran around. I learned, I don't understand the first day, and fuck you. That was it. Fuck your mother. Fuck your mother, and I don't understand. That's it. Just in case they said it, and then if I did say it, I would say I don't understand.
Right. And luckily you had the boxing skills already.
Yeah.
So you could back that up.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, anyway, that's growth. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that it's sort of like, it's cross-fertilization. That's what came to my mind.
Literally, in your case.
Yes, very literally. But no, it's just the idea that you just mix it around.
Yeah.
I just feel like we should be hastening the day when we're all mixed.
We go race. Back to our original race?
Yeah, just like, it's the South Park episode. With the, what do you call them? No, they're not wetbacks. There's like
the
greasebacks. The
ones that come from the time. The
slimebacks. What they make the name for them.
Hey, Ticker
Dare. Yeah.
Ticker Dare. Yeah.
It's so funny how that episode predicted the Trump era.
Yeah.
Like crazy. Literally, Trump supporters to me sound like
Ticker Dare. Yeah. Fucking. I haven't been even watching the news at all. I just keep seeing headlines and just like. Before, like when he first got elected, I was like, "Fuck this!" I'm watching all this news, and now I'm just like, "This almost." It's like the shootings in America. It's like before I was so shocked by it, and now it's unfortunate that it's so prevalent in America that I'm just like, "Yeah, that's terrible."
I thought that last shooting, the Vegas one, that was the scariest one. Because that was one where it was like
it's going to be less scary really soon when it happens over and over again.
Over and over again.
Tell me the first time.
It's just, I really think that in a lot of ways, we are sort of, from our perch in Shanghai, it's just a really interesting place to observe the world from.
Yeah.
Because I do think that there is an instinct inside of me. I don't think it's the same for you. Well, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
Shoot.
But I do think this, I don't think there's any...
I feel like this is going to be judgmental.
Yeah, it's going to be super judgmental.
And cocky or something.
Maybe not cocky, but more self-deprecating.
All right.
As is mine.
Shoot.
Yeah.
My usual self.
Yeah. I have this, it's kind of like a placebo, like in the sense that I've convinced myself it's true.
Yeah.
Even though probably there's no truth to it.
Okay.
But I believe that my personality is descended from some sort of genetic variation that dates back thousands of years with Jews, where it's like we need to survive because people are always trying to kill us or kick us out.
Would that be a common thing, you Jewish people out there? Would you think that's a thing? That
call in on the Millennial Nostalgia
Please call
podcast.
In,
Jews. We want
1-800 Jew us.
That's for the women.
Don't call that number.
And Jewman.
Jewman.
What's the Jewess is a thing.
Jewess?
People say Jewess.
Oh.
But then what's the man?
1-800-JAP.
Not enough letters, but...
You get a short phone number? Jap.
But so, I feel like Shanghai is the safest place in the world right now.
It is.
It's so stable.
Yeah.
It's so... There's so much opportunity here.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And... I feel like part of me just realized at a certain point, shit's going down in America. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And then I looked around the world, and I was like, things seem to be looking up in this other place on the other side of the world.
Mm.
Let's go see what's happening there. And I kind of just found a niche here.
Yeah.
And I'm just like curled up into a ball.
Riding that fucking wave.
And I'm just riding the Chinese wave.
Shave.
Got myself a Chinese wife.
Yeah.
Little mixed baby.
Yeah.
I'm just going to slide through life.
That's like the opposite of what happened. Not really the opposite, but
right.
Like,
see, it is different.
I know, it's just an accident, and like I don't really feel it's not like safe. It's but like I don't know. I don't know why I would want to leave here. Like, why would you want to leave? Like, I got everything I want here. Life's fast and can be slow if I want. It can be cheap. It can be expensive. It can be whatever thing I want to put into it.
Yeah, that's
I could be
true.
With foreigners. I could be with Chinese people. I could try new cultures. Whatever. I can try out all the different kind of food. If I want to travel to another country, we have the giant ass international airport. Like, you can get tickets for nothing. I was looking at tickets to Thailand for $400. $400 round trip. That's how much it would cost me to go from Minnesota to North Carolina in the States.
And you're basically going to a sex Disney Wonderland. If it's Bangkok.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thailand's great.
Pretty much. Yeah. Okay, last point before we take a break. I was listening to this BBC podcast about Russia.
Yeah.
About this phenomenon in Russia where because of Putin, because of all the... You know, corruption and political crackdowns.
Did you see Icarus, by the way?
I did not.
You gotta watch that.
Yeah, anyway. I do have to watch that. I heard about that. Sure, it's all my queue.
Sure, maybe watch that. You should watch it.
It's all my queue.
It's good. Anyway, go on.
Literally, it's on my list on Netflix. So it's this BBC podcast. It's called Documentary, and each week they have just a podcast about a topic.
Okay.
So this week it was about Russia brain drain. About all the best and brightest Russians, or a lot of them, are leaving the country because they just can't tolerate the oppression and the corruption and whatnot, instability. So the first half of the episode was about people who left. They interviewed a woman living in Berlin who... Do you know that thing they have in Shanghai? It's called, like, Mr.
X.
X.
Yeah.
So she runs that kind of thing in Berlin.
Cool.
And just interviewing lots of people from all around the world, Russians who left because they just can't deal with living in Russia anymore. Then the second half of the podcast was about people who've stayed in Russia and trying to explain, why are you staying here? Like, you know what Pussy Riot is?
No.
It's this Russian punk rock group that protested Putin and went to like labor camps for 2 years and worked like 16-hour days and were just abused and then got out of jail and now they're back out. And they're like, why do you stay in Russia? Why don't you leave?
Pussy Riot! That's the answer to those questions?
One of them. But the logic was that, actually, ironically, you get more freedom in Russia in ways. Because you're in a place where there's more opportunity because everyone's leaving. So when you make a decision to stay in Russia... You actually have more opportunity to be a leader, to do something special.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of what I have here. Like, if we decided to start a podcast in America, we'd be one of thousands of podcasts.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're making a decision to be the voice of the Shanghai expat community, like, we really might become that.
And that sounds ballsy.
I'm kind of excited about that. That there is this vibrant community here.
Are we doing meta podcasts right now?
I don't know. I always get meta. Anyway, that was just how I wanted to...
No. I wanted to say that's... Shit. That's my argument for when... why would you move to China? Like, there's more opportunity here. I mean, they're like, oh, but people... It's communist. It's a communist country. I'm like, it is a communist country, but it's way more free than America. I'm like, I don't... Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, sure, there are some things that are...
Drink on the street.
Yeah, sure. Drink on the street.
I love drinking on the street.
Yeah, drinking on the street's nice.
Free cigarettes.
Free cigarettes. Basically. I mean, everything's much cheaper here if you want it to be. It's just, it's better.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of debates about that with people. They're like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, fucking go there and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong and then we can talk about it.
Call in. Leave your comments on
1-800-JAP-JAP-JAP-JAP
and mnbpodcast.com. We encourage your feedback.
That whole sentence is the number.
Basically.
We encourage your feedback. 1-800.
555 Lao Y R S.
Anyway, on that note, we are going to have our next segment with me, Jeffrey. If you hear this fantastic music, you will definitely know what the next thing is about. Anyway, talk to you soon.
And we're back.
And if you hear that song, that is the Green Hill Zone from the Japanese classic Sonic the Hedgehog, or Sonic the Hedgehog in English.
Are you fluent in Japanese?
Nope, just to look that one word up.
Sounded so accurate.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Not racist at all.
I always think, I don't know, I just, every time I picture this Japanese accent, I think of just a old, like, fucking Heihachi from Tekken.
Heihachi.
Sonic, yeah. And Jin, Jin's his son.
The white, anyway. The white hair, the pointy white hair.
Yeah, yeah. Just a super masculine.
Yep.
Kick your ass, yeah. Anyway, so that's Sonic the Hedgehog, and for those of you who don't know, it was released on Sega Genesis, 1991, June 1991, and oddly enough, for a brief period of time, the Genesis outsold the SNES, or Super Nintendo, from 1991-1992.
I was part of that wave.
Yeah.
I went from NES to Sega Genesis.
Well, that was, I mean, that was supposed to, they created the Sonic the Hedgehog as like a iconic thing for Sega, and it's, you know, stayed that way for almost two decades now, yep.
Competing with Mario.
Yeah, competing with Mario. And anyway, so it's a 2D side-scrolling platformer, and, It's about this blue hedgehog that just runs super, super fast. And his deal is, you know, he can spin in a ball, he runs really fast. His main arch nemesis is Dr. Robotnik, who was Eggman in the Japanese version. And what he does is he captures all these animals, and your goal is to beat his boss at the end of two or three levels, and then you have to open the cage and let all the animals free. And
is that like a subliminal environmental message?
That would be really funny if it was.
No, I think, Japanese are all about that stuff.
Kill the bad guy and help the earth.
Yeah, right?
That'd be cool.
I feel like the Japanese are more in touch with nature than we are.
I mean, they do have those cherry blossoms, I would be.
And they have more of they have limited resources.
Well, they're on an island.
Exactly. So they have to genuinely conserve.
Yeah. Anyway, so this, I guess when I think of Sonic the Hedgehog, I think of kind of my first memory was I got the Genesis system with my dad, and it was opening up this Genesis system, and then it was it's reminiscent for me. It reminds me of that. I was so excited. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's Genesis. Like, let's play Altered Beast and
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage came out after me and dad. My dad used to play that game all the time. But it was reminiscent of that like N64 GIF of that girl, and she opens up the NC4 and she's like, fuck, oh no. At Christmas.
Yes, everyone, and, maybe not everyone knows that GIF, but I know it
well,
very well.
They open up the NC4 and they're like, yeah, yeah, and then just freak out.
Yeah. Wearing pink, I think.
Yeah.
Girl is frightening.
Yeah.
Her face is the face of, I don't know, of insanity.
Annabelle. That movie, scary movie. Fucking A, straight vodka is rough.
Pour some orange juice into it.
It's got carbohydrates in there, man. I can't do that. This is a drink. That's 12 grams of carbohydrates right there. I can't drink anymore.
All right, whatever.
Maybe 13. I don't know.
Go on. I'm proud of my belly, all right?
I'm trying to get that Usher abs, you know what I mean? That Usher Raymond.
Why?
Why would you not want that?
Because you're going to be married now. You don't need to impress anyone anymore.
You impress yourself.
Impress yourself. I respect the motivation. I don't have it.
It's like that D'Angelo video. How does it feel? How does it feel? And he's just shredded. That's what I want. D'Angelo abs / Usher. Usher, baby. Anyway, back to the point. Sonic the Hedgehog. In the later games, the second one, they had this partner in crime, Tails, which is like a fox with two tails, hence the name. And they can fly around, and he's basically impervious to damage. And he just helps you collect coins, and he helps you beat the boss. And it's like the Sonic the Hedgehog's sidekick. And I played this game with my sister the most. And growing up, my sister was kind of my sidekick. One of the earliest memories I have of my sister, or at least the one that I always am reminded of by my mom, that my mom, when we lived in, was it either Chicago, outside of Chicago, Lyle, or I think it was in Lyle. It wasn't in Canada. My mom would always complain. She used to, like, she had this flower bed, and every week or two, the tulips in there would just be smashed, and she would think it's these rabbits, and we'd have to be like, oh, it must be the animals out there. And one day, we were at home, my mom was at home, and she looks outside the kitchen window, and she sees me and my sister just stamping on those fucking flowers, and, you know, my sister's younger than I am, and she found out that it wasn't these rabbits, it was just me telling my sister, we're going to go smash on these flowers, and she just followed my lead. You know, so she was always my sidekick. In that case, you know, and you would grow up as a, you know, with your younger sibling, they look up to you because you're the older person, and then you get tired of them because you were trying to be independent, and then that's when we got in, like, a lot of fight. We weren't super close growing up.
Well, it sounds like you were. I mean, she's following you around like that.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't want her to follow me around.
And yet that made her want
to follow.
Yeah, even more.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, it was, then we got to middle school and high school, and she was known as Jeffrey's sister. Jeffrey's sister, in which, you know, she was trying to be her own independent person at that point. And that kind of, you know, that separated us. That kind of drove a wedge in between us because she didn't want to be Jeffrey's sister. She wanted to be just her.
Define her own identity.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so it took until we moved in together. We were kind of like, we were sister and brother, but we weren't as close.
In Shanghai?
So we moved in 2010. I was only going to stay in China for a year. And then my sister was like, hey, I'm just graduated. I'm going to move to Shanghai, or I'll move to China with you, her and her boyfriend. So they moved in together, and that's how we, you know, we really got to know each other. I learned who she was, and she learned who I was.
As adults,
yeah. We didn't have that background of, you know, the divorce and then childhood and all that stuff. And so that's what I was going to talk about today, is that how, like, you know, growing up you have these, maybe just in your life you have these people in your life that are one way that you think will never change, and then later on in life they become something totally different. They transcend their original role, and they become integral to who you are as a person. So my sister has helped me out a lot. She's very insightful. She's incredibly intelligent. If you were to meet her, you would think that she's the older sibling and I'm the younger one, and that's the opposite, unfortunately.
She is a woman. I do find that women tend to grow up at a faster rate than we do.
Yeah, that's true. So she's taught me a lot of lessons. She's taught me a lot of how to be mindful and how to be introspective. I know the last podcast we talked about self-awareness. You know, that's one of the largest things that she's helped me with, is just being self-aware, being understanding of my, you know, my own faults and such. And, you know, that's what I want to talk about today. Like, just that whole, like, I mean, people in your life, I wish we could have fucking callers.
Mm.
People in our life that, like, have changed their original role, who have come from someone who is maybe being someone you didn't want to be around, to teaching you something, you know, essential to who you are.
Yeah. Well, I think I've probably said this on the podcast before. I am very envious of your sibling relationship, as I am of Crunchy's sibling relationship. Mm. I was listening to Crunchy's segment on the previous podcast, him talking to his brother, and that closeness is such a beautiful thing. Just giving you the other side of that, you know, I am estranged from my younger brother, and I think it had a lot to do with our childhood. We had a tough childhood growing up, and my brother took it a bit harder than I did. He was younger, and maybe I wasn't there for him as much as I should have been, but he found his own way,
is an incredibly successful artist now, living his own life, but he's decided that he doesn't really want to have a relationship with me right now, and that hurts. It's tough.
I mean, how do you get back from that, though?
I'm going back home in a couple months, and in recent days, I've done everything I can to connect with him. Mm-hmm. Facebook, email, he has his own website, he has his own YouTube channel. I've been literally sending out messages on every...
Has he responded?
No. I've also tried to connect with his long-term living girlfriend. Mm-hmm. In the past, that was successful, and nothing. And I have to be empathetic because he has the opposite personality I have. I have the type of personality where my life is about connecting with people. Mm. If I'm not connecting with others, I mean, that's why I became a teacher.
Yeah.
I need that daily charge of being with people. Mm. Whereas my younger brother is the exact opposite. He's very introverted on the other side of the spectrum where he feels drained by social interaction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do have to respect that, but on the other hand, it's really hard to know that there's someone out there that had the same childhood that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfectly, but, I mean, you know what similar, the sibling relationship is, and the fact that you don't have that person to connect with, it is difficult. And I want to introduce him to his nephew.
Yeah.
I want to introduce him to his sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Neither of whom he's ever met. And it's just... sucks.
Well, I mean, so have you tried to like just I recently found this out if you were to show dominance over, this is going to be a really weird analogy, but follow
go me. For it
weird connection, if you were to show dominance to a dog, what does the dog do? The dog
follows,
yes, but lowers their head really as low as they possibly can to show respect.
Subservience.
Have you tried that? Like
being subservient?
Yeah.
Hmm. So how would I do that?
I mean, so you must be estranged for some reason.
I think it's genuinely because the last time I saw my brother was Christmas of 2015.
Yeah,
that was the last time I was back home, and we had a good time. I went up to visit him. He lives in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the country on a dirt road.
Yeah.
And he's a reclusive artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a great online community of like-minded artists. He's respected, almost venerated in his art. He does origami.
Yeah.
And I think he is satisfied with his life. And when he looks back at his childhood, it's just pain.
Mm-hmm. That's
When my father transitioned and became a woman, that was really difficult for my brother to accept. Still difficult for me, although I have accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look forward to going back and seeing my father when I go back home. But my brother... I don't think ever fully accept it. And also our mother having multiple sclerosis and being incredibly sick and tragically passing away.
Yeah.
That was just, it's just when he looks back at our childhood, sees nothing but pain and just doesn't want, I mean, I haven't spoken to my brother in 2 years, but he hasn't spoken to my father for 5 years.
Yeah. So that would make him, he doesn't want to talk to you because of that?
I think when he thinks about our family, it's just pain. And every time, like literally last night, I was on Facebook Messenger and sending Facebook messages to him. And I would see him online, I would send a message, he'd disappear.
Mm.
So I know he's on the other side seeing me and just thinking, oh, it's my family, this is a negative experience.
It could be nothing else.
It
just seems like a strange thing to not respond to someone, just pain.
I know.
I mean, if that's the case, then that's really
Well, the last time we were together, we had a great time.
Mm.
I stayed with him for a couple days.
Could it possibly change then? Just your father switching over?
No, that was the case back then as well. I think that there is this just general feeling that my brother has checked out from our family. Doesn't want to have anything to do with family. Except maybe accepting money. which was the last transaction that he had with our family. But I just want to just end this. I don't know why this segment became about me.
All right, sure. No, that's. I mean, I was listening.
I don't know. I appreciate that you're trying to problem solve.
Yeah.
As you always do, because you're a kind person, Jeffrey.
I like solving problems. So.
I know you do. I have all the respect in the world for my brother. Mm. I look up to him. He has found one thing in the world that he wants to do, which is origami. Mm. And he has spent he's dedicated his whole life to one craft. And he's got his 10,000 hours. Mm. He's got way more. He's probably got 20,000 hours. And he's only in his early 30s.
Yeah.
He's a master. I see the work he does. He has this incredible website where he displays his work.
You gotta check it out sometime.
Yeah. And he's chosen a life for himself. Mm. He lives in the woods, chops his own fucking firewood.
Really?
I mean, he lives on a plot of land.
Yeah.
He's renovated this factory into a livable house.
Yeah.
And he's just doing his thing, and I respect that. I just want to say hi and introduce my family to him. But yeah. Whatevs.
Coming
whatevs.
Up soon. You're going back soon. So.
I'm going to try. I'm going to continue reaching out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I.
But back to Sonic. Back to Sonic.
Yeah. Anyway, back to
Sonic.
I mean, back to Sonic. So Sonic was just. Well, you know what? This is one of the things I kind of thought about today. Like, what do you think that conversation looks like? Like, there must be a moment in the sidekick's life where the sidekick is like, "Nah, fuck this. Like, I want to be. Let me get my own fucking game. I want to be. This is a game called Tails Flies Around and Sonic can't do shit because he just runs on the ground.
Right.
Like. What does that even look like? Like Robin? What if Robin just busts out? I know he was Nightwing, Night something. He had his own character.
I'm not a DC expert.
Shit. Nightwing or not
Hawk. Crunchy. Crunchy's our comic book expert.
Definitely Crunchy. I wish she was here for that. Night something. And then he busts out being his own hero. But I wonder what that conversation sounds like.
Well, what I hear you saying is that, and this is something I've talked about many times with students and other people in general, that every relationship, there is a power dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So the sibling one is what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
But another one is friendships.
Yeah.
In the past, I've been a part of friendships where I felt like I was the junior partner. And it's painful. It's tough to be that person where you feel like, you know, you're supporting another person.
Yeah.
And that is... That's a part of the relationship, that you have to accept that you're supporting the friend, but at the same time, you have to acknowledge that this friend needs to feel dominant if you want to keep the friendship going. And I've been in those friendships, and they're tough. They're tough to be a part of.
You gotta, I mean, and I think in those situations, you have to just assert your, it's like, what movie is that? Hitch, where he talks about how, like, when you're going on a date,
Will Smith.
Kevin Smith.
No. Kevin James.
Kevin James. He's on the date. And he's like, you gotta let her go. Like, let her be by herself.
Right.
And then just show like, oh hey, what's up? Come back. And I think in that's what you have to do with those kind of things. Like, you have to show that, hey, I'm important. Like, I can do my own thing. I don't need you.
There you go.
And then like, oh, maybe I do need them because they're over there kicking some ass.
So maybe that's what my brother's doing.
Going over there kicking some ass?
Well, he is. He's clearly kicking some ass. And, I don't want it to be about me. I actually want to hear more about your relationship with your sister.
I mean, my relationship with my sister is...
Sounds like it's great now, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic, really. It's strange how equal the dynamic is. I mean, there are times where I think, you know, it's sometimes one-sided... But, and then, like, I'm the estranged one from the family, at least, you know, sometimes with my dad. But lately, it's been getting better. What I can take away the most from my sister is that we learn from each other, and that she helps me out, and she provides some, like, I think the thing is with that, is that I learned to actually listen to someone.
Mm.
Like, genuinely listen to what she had to say. Like, not just, you know, when some people give you advice and you're just like, okay, yeah, that's a good idea, I should do that.
But you're not
fucking,
actually listening.
You're not going to fucking do that.
Yeah, yeah. You're giving lip service.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a good idea, but I'm going to stick to my way because it's easier.
Right.
Or I've been doing it for, like, this entire time. But her advice, I actually genuinely apply it to my life, and it fucking works. Mm. Or I take her idea, and then I apply it to how I can apply it to my life. And, you know, I actually think about it. And I think that, you know, that's, at least, like, for me, that's one of the skills that I've been trying to work on the most, is actually listening to people and not, like you said, lip service, you know? Because that happens a lot. People, like, they have conversations, they're waiting. There's a movie about that where they said, you're actually listening to somebody, you're not just waiting for your turn to talk.
Oh, I know what movie that's from. You know what I'm talking about? What is it? I totally know what movie that's from. Oh, God. That quote is so familiar.
Yeah. I can't remember what it is. It's not
from a book. Is it Fight Club? No, it's not Fight Club?
I don't think it's Fight Club. It's got to be a Matthew Perry movie, really.
Why do you love Matthew Perry so much?
Because he's the fucking man. He's just...
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
He's hilarious. Right, Sherbert?
Right.
Matthew Perry?
Oh, yeah.
Sherbert, who's your favorite friend?
Monica.
Yes! I'm a Monica person, too.
She's the best.
Wow, that's funny. I know. I know.
Perfect.
So are you also OCD?
No, I'm not at all.
No.
You just think she's funny.
Yeah, she's the best. I really like her personality.
I just wish Courtney Cox hadn't
aged
so poorly. I think she just went under the knife a couple too many times.
Yeah, preventative measures gone wrong.
Because you look at, like, Jennifer Aniston, right?
Yeah.
It's like two completely opposite.
All you really need is just some lotion. A lotion regimen every day.
You know what I mean? You were going to say something else about lotion.
Now. Not masturbation.
Get your
God, Sherbert.
Head out of the gutter, Sherbert.
A facial.
God.
A lotion.
Well, that is a stress reliever, though.
There we go. Yeah. So I've stayed so young. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, I think that, anyway, back to the listening part, I think that the listening part is just really, it's really important to, like, especially in family relationships, you have to put in the effort to listen to them.
I have a story about this.
Go for it.
So I'm planning going back home.
Yeah.
And my father has just taken on a roommate.
Yeah.
So in previous times going back home, I always stayed with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the first time where I can't stay with her.
Yeah.
So that brought on a big confrontation.
Right.
And the first conversation, I was hoping to convince my father that you're being selfish. How dare you take on a roommate?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I was acting like a spoiled brat. I was saying, you don't take on a roommate. You wait for me to come home, right?
And I'll be a roommate for a short period of time.
Exactly.
The rest of the time, be alone.
Right, right. And then my father tried to come up with a compromise, which was, we will pay for the roommate to go on a vacation, so you guys can stay.
Yeah.
And I was, again, just being spoiled and irrational and saying, that's not enough. I'm not going to pay
Kill
for
them.
This is a stranger.
Yeah.
How dare you even consider your roommate's interests beyond my family's. And so the first conversation was kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
We both weren't listening to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I was being fake and trying to be political and trying to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was being very upfront and just saying, listen, the situation has changed. I want you guys to come, but we need to accommodate the new situation. And so then we basically, the communication was stalled.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a second video conversation, video Skype, whatever.
Yeah.
And we yelled at each other. We said some shitty things to each other.
Yeah.
But then we both apologized, and we were like, listen, we're just going to get an Airbnb, and I can afford it, and I love you, and you're an important person in my life, and we're going to spend a lot of time together, but this is going to be better for everyone.
Yeah.
And in the second conversation, we listened to each other,
mm-hmm.
and we boiled it down to the fact that it's a parent and a child, and there's love there.
Yeah.
And all this other ego and pride and bullshit was just getting in the way of us moving forward. And so I just, you know, when you talk about listening, that story came up for me.
I think that it's interesting that you said that. Like the, I think when you hit 30, adult child, that parent child relationship changes, and it's not. I mean, it's still the parent child relationship, but now it's adult and then fully formed adult. Like, I don't know. If I can only draw on my own personal experience, you know, when I was in my 20s, I was just, you know, I'm not even close to where I am now. Like, not even nothing. I didn't know. I didn't have the same self confidence, the same, you know, self dependency. Yes.
Yeah. Self reliance.
There we go.
Whatever. I know what you mean.
I didn't have that like I have now. Like, I know that whatever fucking problem is, sure, I got this. Or if I have some kind of problem, we fix it this way, then I'll still get back to where I was going to be before, because that's what I fucking do. Like,
where did that come from for you? Because I feel the
mistakes,
same way.
Mistakes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when, as you grow up, you know, people, I guess that's, I'm not sure if that's how you can quantify it, but like you go through life and eventually you'll accumulate enough mistakes that you'll be like, you look back and like, well, this happened. So when this happens,
let's not
over
do
here,
that again.
Yeah, let's not do this again, but now if it does happen accidentally, well then, this is how we deal with this. It's like a life vaccine.
I like that.
Life vaccine.
It's you like, get a taste of the bacteria and you develop new antibodies in your personality.
Yes. There we go. That is a fucking theory right there, huh, Sherp?
Right.
What's the, and then there's Einstein's definition of insanity?
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again with the same result. Isn't that right?
Insanity? That's exactly right.
The same result?
That's exactly right. Sherbert, once again.
Sherbert.
Solid participation.
Nice. That's a pretty solid connection there. That's one of those connections where people are like, you know, when if you read communication theory, which I majored in communication, which is kind of a bullshit major, to be honest. It is and it isn't.
It has a reputation as a bullshit major, mm-hmm. but at the same time, when I think about the skills that cutting edge international curriculum is emphasizing, it's communication skills.
Yeah, that's right.
So, cuts both ways. But anyway, what were we gonna say?
Well, I mean, so if you think of some of the theories you learn, like the one that I talked to you about, how the theory of when someone shares you something personal about them, then you're more inclined to share something of the same merit.
What's that called?
I don't know what the theory's called.
Reciprocity, something like that.
No, it's a specific theory. It's like educational theories.
Okay.
Where, like educational strategies and stuff, and where you read them, you're like, oh yeah, well obviously, duh. Why would you not? Why would you do that? Why would you not do that? That's the same kind of connection with this life vaccine.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever thought of that.
I think that might be the MNB theory of psychological development.
There we go.
That we just coined.
TM. That's it right there. We can publish that later via cassette tape.
TM's already been taken, though.
TM.
Transcendental Meditation.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing I did. That's another life skill I learned.
Really?
One of the reasons that I am the man I am today. Meditation.
Transcendental? Is that transcendental? Like you go to the dentist and then you meditate?
Yeah, you just grind your teeth.
Oh, okay.
And it's
transcendental.
Like, it's your teeth reach an astral plane.
Dang.
Where they commune with the teeth of generations past, and your enamel
tells you
creates an aura around you that literally rises your soul to a higher level of existence.
The calcium plane.
Yeah. Actually, cats are a big ingredient in that formula.
Good thing we're just throwing those sound effects in there.
Yeah, throw another one on the pot.
Yeah, just
boiling some cat stew.
Anyway, yeah, that's all I had to say about Sonic the Hedgehog.
I know I'm a broken record, but I'm going to continue being a broken record. I love our formula. I genuinely think that the conversation that starts with pop culture is such an awesome springboard into real talk.
Yeah, and also just random-ass shit. Transcendental.
Random, yes. Funny, insightful.
Definitely yes.
You be the judge.
Everyone knows that. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be throwing some metal of sorts.
Maybe gold?
Maybe gold.
Maybe silver?
Throwing gold.
Maybe bronze?
Who knows? Who knows? Yes, but you can hear the song, you'll never know who it is. Anyway, see you soon. Like water, being down and abused for being strained. I love you no other than me alone. For me all day. I love you like water, being down and abused. All over you, all over me. The song, the beat, the sky. Animals from the shreds.
So that was one of the number one hits off of the music that I'll be bringing today. Lives Throwing Copper.
Lightning grid.
And no mother grass. So it was the second album by Live, an alternative rock band. Album was released April 19th, 1994 on MCA Records. I'm going to start with the cover art.
Okay.
So, I was in junior high school when this album came out, and as most junior high people, students, I was searching for identity. And music, I think, for a lot of pubescence, adolescence, it's what you cling to to try to find identity. And I was discovering music. It started with the radio, you know, Top 40. In New York, it's Z100. I remember listening to, like, Kiss from a Rose, Seal.
You know that's about cocaine?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Makes sense. Now that your rose is in bloom, light hits.
My eyes turn to something.
No one knows the lyrics to that song.
Maybe.
I can take it to your kiss from a rose. I just know it was from Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Great movie. We're going to have to do that movie.
No. Is it Batman Returns? Or is it Forever?
I think it's Batman Forever.
Yeah. With Riddler.
And Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy.
I still meet you.
No, that's the fourth one.
Oh, that's the fourth.
That's the shitty one with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, that's
everybody,
right. Everybody,
freeze. Or chill. No, everybody chill. But so the cover is a beautiful piece of art. Actually, interestingly enough, the cover art was painted by a Scottish artist named Peter Howson. The title is Sisters of Mercy. And in 2005, the painting was sold at Christie's for $186,000.
That fucking cover art?
The original painting.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
That's why you come to the Millennial Nostalgiaberry podcast.
You learn new facts.
You learn new facts.
And you take shots.
Yeah, we do take shots.
Son of a bitch. Keep going.
The painting explores images. shot vocabulary mistake. The painting explores themes of betrayal, revenge, and fear. Shows a group of prostitutes urging a man. I always thought it was a lizard. It's kind of
what?
A green man.
Let me see it again.
Yeah. So it's a man, but I always thought of it as
a
lizard.
Was a lizard?
Man. Well, the skin is green, and the neck is lizard-like.
I literally never thought that.
He's embracing a Bible. Looks kind of like a Bible.
I thought he was like a dead man.
And, yeah, no, zombie. You could see zombie as well.
Dead man Logan. Yeah.
And the prostitutes are sort of urging him off a cliff.
Yeah. Sorry, totally side note.
Sure.
Have you seen
side note it up.
The Meaning of Life?
Of course.
That famous skit where he's like, well, how do you want to die? want to be chased off the cliff by a bunch of large-breasted women.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That reminded me of that.
I just wish I was in the room where they were casting the extras.
Yeah.
Because every single woman in that scene has voluptuous, beautiful,
buxom,
C-cup and up, just jiggly, natural breasts.
Yeah.
I love the, like, the elbow pads.
The elbow pads, yeah. What a ridiculous
multicolored
scene. What a ridiculous scene.
Monty Python geniuses. Yeah. I thought we were kind of channeling Monty Python with our most recent comedy sketch.
Well, I don't, that's our actual commercial. That's not. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ooh.
That's one of our people that are sponsors.
Good old.
What's that faith?
WENIS. Dude, hashtag to the closest decimal points.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So I'm talking about the cover art.
Yeah.
I owned two t-shirts.
Did you?
You know, grunge was a really convenient fad to jump on because you only had to have minimal fashion requirements to portray it.
What's the fashion requirement?
At one pair. All you need is one pair of Janko jeans.
Yeah. Janko, I don't think Janko jeans was essential to it, but you had to, like, grunge fucking.
Janko is shorthand for ridiculously wide skater pants with a belt cinching a way too.
And those really deep pockets where you get, like, an iPad.
Yep.
A full iPad in there.
Carhartt would be another brand that would fit
Carhartt
in there.
Carhartt, I've heard that in a while.
Oh, come on. Yeah, absolutely.
Urban Outfitters. We didn't really want a lot of Carhartt. We did a lot of Janko.
New York City, Carhartt was also big. Mm-hmm. So. I was grasping for identity in middle school. Mm-hmm. Elementary school, all I had known was like hip-hop culture, Tribe Called Quest, Wu-Tang Clan, and then suddenly all the cool kids in junior high school were skaters and they were grinding on their rollerblades. And I was like, I want to get on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my 11th birthday, and we would get these mail-order catalogs.
Yeah.
I think they were called, like, Finger Hut or something.
That's not a porno?
No, I know it sounds like a porno, but it was this big, big national mail order catalog. Yeah, I think it was called Finger Hut or something like that. But there were these really thick magazines, magazine style catalogs, where they just had everything. They sold everything. Mm-hmm. And I would waste away hours combing through this catalog, deciding all the things I wanted to buy.
Did they have that... What is that fucking one?
I think it's Finger Hut. I really think they were called Finger Hut. Maybe it wasn't a national thing. But we would get these catalogs, and they just had, like, dining room sets, stereos, bed sheets. They had everything. So there was a couple pages that were all stereos. Mm. And stereo, I mean, people can't even imagine what stereos meant. Because now everyone listens to their music on iPads, iPhones, and they plug it into a dock and connect it to sleek Bluetooth Bose speakers. Yeah. But back in the day, they had these chunky three-piece stereos with two speakers and a tower in the middle where you had a five-disc CD changer, two cassettes, and a radio. And that was cutting edge.
That's crazy that they fucking don't have that now. That's a good point.
So
they
this was that. So when I was 11 years old, like, having that was the most coveted object that I could imagine as a budding, not adult, but adolescent. Like, I wanted to have something in my room that was a status object, kind of.
But it was a status object.
It's a status object. No, straight up. Like, I'm not going to pull any punches. Like, it was a very superficial. Obviously, I'm fucking 7th grade.
But also, it's just like, you get to, it's a way for you, man, that's a,
to express yourself.
I don't want to go, I don't want to go too far off from what you're trying to say.
No,
but
go.
That is like, that was one of the key ways that people expressed themselves, like, when we were growing up.
Of course.
They didn't have the internet. They didn't have putting up pictures and shit of themselves.
That's right.
We had, hey, this is my CD book collection, which I know you've talked about before.
Yes, yes.
These are all the things that are me.
Yes.
Check me out.
Yes. And I just have all these great memories of being in my room with the headphones plugged into the stereo, waiting, listening to the radio, just waiting for A Kiss from a Rose to come on with the blank tape cassette in there with my finger waiting on record to record all those singles that my parents didn't give me enough money to buy, and I was making a mixtape from the radio.
Yeah.
Like, that was a pastime.
But then you get that buster ass just talking in the middle of the, like, the end of the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and then occasionally. That was Kiss from the Rose.
But occasionally you get a remix Z, you wouldn't have been able to get on the single. Yeah, that's true. It's, you know, you get whatever. Yeah, pros and cons. But, so it really meant a lot to me because we went to, I think it was Sears.
Okay.
Maybe we went to Sears, or maybe we went to, what's like a bootleg version of Sears? We didn't go to Sears.
Zellers.
We went to like Kohl's or something.
Kohl's is not a Sears.
What's Kohl's?
Kohl's is like a clothing
just clothing
store that has other shit in there.
Like. We went to some bootleg version of Sears, and I, you know, I at this point, my family wasn't doing that well. We didn't have a lot of money. So it was my birthday, though, so it was a big thing. They wanted to get me a big stereo, and I remembered, like, the really nice ones with a 5-disc CD changer were, like, $500. But the one we got was, like, maybe $120. But it had one CD, it had two cassettes, and it had the radio. That's all it had, and it wasn't, like,
no
Sony.
No speakers.
Yeah, no, it had the two speakers. But it wasn't Sony. It wasn't even Panasonic. It was, like...
Toshiba.
Yeah, some, like, bullshit brand. But it meant so much to me that I had it.
Yeah.
And my mother was like, all right, you can get one CD. And what CD did I get? It just so happened that it was 1994, and on the top of the Billboard charts at that moment was Throwing Copper. And I had seen, like, someone else who had a Throwing Copper t-shirt. Or maybe I'd heard on the radio. Who knows? Mm. I can't remember that specifically. But I made the decision that... The first CD I ever bought was going to be Throwing Copper. And I bought it, and I was not disappointed. Because it is a brilliant fucking album. It's a ton of great tracks on this album. We listened to one in the intro to this segment, Lightning Crashes. But it's not one of those albums where there's a couple singles, and then that's it. When you sell 8 million copies, there's a reason. You know, All Over You is another brilliant single. Selling the Drama, another brilliant single. My favorite album, which is kind of like more like the slam dance, punk, sort of up-tempo stage. Mm. I love that one. And so I just listened to this album nonstop for a while.
Can I make a comment on a couple of things here? Or maybe something I'll go back to later. But what I really like what I liked about when you brought up Live, is that Live has, like, back in the 90s, they have these iconic voices. Like, a lot of the bands now, you know, they're not as different. They're not. I mean, Sam Smith, really good. He's got a fantastic voice. But is he that far off from, you know, I'm drawing a blank right now. But is his voice as, like, iconic as Live? Like, have you heard, like, for example, Nickelback or Creed? If you heard those songs now, you'd be like, yeah, that's that fucking, that's that one band. Soundgarden, again, same kind of jam. They have these...
Stone Temple Pilots,
they have these specific
Nirvana.
Voice. Yeah, the specific voice.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Blind Melon.
Yeah, they don't
Sublime, have, the list goes on.
Oasis.
Yep.
Yeah, there's nothing else, they don't have that now. Maybe they do, and we're just old.
Well, we are old, and I think we have to represent the millennial voice, that's what we do.
Basically, what we're saying, that your new age shit sucks. Fuck you.
I'm not saying that new age
I'm
shit sucks.
I'm definitely saying that. Let's go for another shot.
It's different.
Different. I bet you the fucking Generation X was saying that same shit, like, fuck this live band. We listen to fucking, what is that, like, fucking Led Zeppelin.
The Smiths.
I love the Smiths.
I know. Of course, I do too.
Morrison.
Yeah.
Woo!
Morrissey.
Good shit, Morrissey.
Right? Absolutely. But, so, I want to talk about the experience of owning a CD. You touched on it earlier. The CD book culture was a big thing. Actually, the previous episode, Crunchy was talking about this with his brother.
Yeah.
When you owned, and I talked about this when I talked about Sublime, about Summer Camp.
Yeah.
About the status of owning... one of those thick, like, 200 CD albums, leather outside, 9 CDs per page. You put the booklet behind, and you put the CD in front, and you just take that album out and you give that album to people that you're meeting, and flipping through the pages, physically flipping through the pages, you're learning about who this person is. You're not only learning what music they listen to, you're learning how they organize their albums. You're learning if it's clean or not.
I'm gonna, I didn't interrupt you here, but I'm gonna give you a sentence. You tell me, just tell me your immediate thoughts about this, all right? We're gonna bring it back to...
Take a Rorschach test.
Yep, Rorschach test, okay. We're gonna bring it back to, let's say you're back in the 1990s, you have the CD book, you're in, maybe you're in your own car, and then someone is in there and they're looking through your CD book, and they say, oh, wow, you have this CD?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Which CD are they looking at?
Doesn't matter, just... Oh, you have this blank? That's cool. What would you think about that?
Well, I'd probably say, yeah, man. That one's okay. Like, you know, track 6 is my favorite. Most people like track 6, yeah. But actually the hidden track is the one that you should know about. You should look at the liner notes there. Actually, the lyrics on this song, you know? It's like, it's a way of flexing.
But inside you're feeling...
I'm the fucking man. This guy fucking knows. This guy knows what's up.
Just a point of pride, right?
It's a point of pride. It's a point of pride.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And honestly, and this, I guess, will make me sound old, but I guess it's something about connection. Physical connection.
Yeah.
Physical connection. One thing that I want to know about. I want to get younger people on this podcast. I think it'd be really interesting if we get guests who are...
Oh, I got one for you.
Yeah.
You've met him. Okay. I can say his name now? It's fine.
Whatever.
Jared.
Yeah.
Did you meet him?
No.
Jared, he's like 22.
Uh-huh.
23.
Okay.
He's on a different level. Really
right.
Fantastic
right.
guy.
Right.
But he's much younger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nice well, it's just a thing about the physicality of music. That's what I was trying to talk about the experience of owning a CD. The physicality of music is slowly changing. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. The generation before us, it was vinyl. And I think that if I was from that generation, I probably would have kept my collection more covetously. Whereas with CDs, it was like this transition, because CDs are not, they're not, there's no craft to it the way vinyl. Vinyl is a physical thing that is produced. The bumps on the vinyl are creating the music. The needle touching the vinyl itself.
Yeah.
Whereas a CD, it's already a laser.
Yeah.
And with CDs, it's easy to scratch a CD. You have to buy a new CD.
I mean, you can scratch the shit out of those vinyls, though. It's easy.
Yeah, I know. But with CDs, I feel like it's more replaceable.
Okay.
And for me, I still have at least 2 leather albums of hundreds of CDs. One is all hip-hop, one is non-hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And I still have that in a closet back in my father's house.
Really?
It's in storage. It's collecting dust.
I feel like eventually we're going to get to that era like where you can't even fucking play it. Like currently, none of my computers have disk drives.
It's done. Optical drives are a thing of the past.
Yeah. It's done now.
Yeah.
It's like when VHSs are like, oh, nah, I only have this DVD player, sorry. I don't have this fucking VHS player.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think somehow Crunchy's not here. I'm playing Crunchy's role of progress, of saying, you know what, all of this is good. The fact that things are changing is positive. But ultimately, I need to cling to that memory of physicality. Yeah. That's the point I want to focus on.
Yeah.
The fact that you hand someone a book of CDs, and that physicality is a visceral memory that I experienced that meant a lot to me.
Are you a finger on the hole in the hole guy, or are you on the outside the CD?
Ooh, I think it can go both ways.
Really?
I think outside's probably easier, but occasionally when you're taking it out of the disc changer,
you gotta,
in the hole.
Well, I mean, I can't. I feel like every time I put it in the hole, my finger gets stuck in there.
This sounds so sexual. It's ridiculous. Literally, when you brought up this subject, I just thought you were talking about.
Are you more of a finger in the hole guy or a fingers in the outside?
Rim job.
So the other thing that I wanted to just mention, before we go on, if that's okay, I don't want to get too far.
Go for it.
You had mentioned about how, like, grasping for identity, and, like, you were finding your identity in grunge. And,
yeah, I was.
I was remembering a thought, like, when you're that age, and you're just, like, you're trying to find your own cool, and you're kind of, like you said, you saw a person that had this throwing copper shirt on, and you're like, yeah, he knows what's, or she knows what's up, you know, like, let's... Yep. I should get that, because then I'll be cool. Like, someone else has got it, then that's clearly then I'm... Like, that's so weird that just hit or miss, or that just... You weren't aware of how you were just fucking trying everything and anything to be cool. You saw someone else that might have been cool, and you're like, I should do that same shit.
Yeah.
That just was a good memory to me.
I wish I could be 100% with you on that, because I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I feel like my experience was a bit more... calculated.
You're more calculated than I am.
I am.
I'm the heart in Captain Planet. You're the other ones.
I'm the all intellect. Four of the other guys. I'm the intellect.
Yeah.
No, you're the heart.
I am heart. Yeah, you are heart. The fucking stupidest one.
Well, he's South
Earth
American.
Wins.
No, he's
heart.
He's not the stupidest one.
How is he a fucking element?
Hold on. First off, that guy was South American.
I know that
he was dark skinned. He was smaller than the other ones, but he was the core. He was the last one.
But it's like they ran out of fucking elements. Like,
no,
I have Earth, Queen, Fire.
I feel, okay.
Heart.
We have to do Captain Planet at
Heart
some
is
point.
Not even a fucking
but
element.
But I have an analysis of Captain Planet. I genuinely feel like that guy was the most important in the team.
Heart?
Because all the other ones sort of were the planets they had their ellipses around him.
Yeah.
But the Heart was the core of the team. If there was no Heart, Captain Planet could not be summoned.
Dude, wouldn't that be fucking hilarious if they didn't have Heart, and it was like Earth, Wind, Fire, Water, Lightning, and then Captain Planet was just a fucking dickhead? Like,
that's,
fuck you, dude.
Do you know
just
what you just described?
What?
Trump.
He's not any of the other elements.
Well,
he's like
all,
just money.
No, well, hold on. All the other elements have power in them. But without Heart to guide the power, all you're left with is Trump.
Just Planet. You're just Captain.
You're just Planet. You're just Planet.
How you just Planet? Fuck
you're
you,
just
dude.
Sad. Sad.
Sad. Anyway.
I love that digression.
So far left.
No,
field.
That was excellent.
So
that was
left.
Very important. Because Captain Planet was on TV when I was listening to live, almost,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that was about... I mean, I didn't really watch that show. Did you watch that show?
I just want you to remember that you weigh a lot more than me. This is three...
I had fucking punts hit for you to eat. We're fine. I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling great,
too. I gave you one longanisa. You had at least...
I had a four-shot...
I gotta work tomorrow. First period, 8:30. Then I got fuck all. I'm going to the gym.
I have a really interesting story about throwing copper.
There you go.
So track 6 of Throwing Copper is called Top.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read...
The song you played or no?
Not one of the songs I played. So I'm going to read a lyric from Top. Oh, Hitler, in a robe of truth, my emptiness has built your altar. I'm going to stop. So I found this lyric in the liner notes of the album. And after probably 9 months of listening to this album, of starting to build a CD collection, having this stereo in my room that was this status symbol that meant a lot, I'd have people from junior high school come over, be like, oh, I got some CDs, take a look at them, I'm cool. Maybe it was a girl, maybe we hooked up, whatever. Suddenly, one day, I saw that lyric and was completely devastated that the first album I had ever bought had anti-Semitic lyrics in it.
Mm-hmm.
I decided never to listen to live again. I think I might have even thrown out the CD.
Really?
Well, it felt like a betrayal.
Yeah.
But then, recently, I was re-listening to the album, and I read the second half of the lyric. So now I'm going to read the lyric in its full context.
Go ahead.
Oh, Hitler, in a robe of truth, my emptiness has built your altar, and I've worshipped myself in you forever, until now. This is a lyric that, for me, represents
the possibility of a converted Trump supporter.
Oh, well, that is a connection right there. All
this
right.
is a connection, because this is something that I want to say about this whole album, because there are a lot of other tracks on this album that connect to this idea of an enlightened Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you out there are probably more so than me live fans who really know about this album, this group, because they, I mean, listen, if you really know about this group, Live started in the 1980s. They had multiple different names before they settled on Live. They have extended their success into the 90s and into the 2000s. They've had Throwing Copper was the peak of their popularity. But this is a band that is still very popular globally. They've had a multi-decade run of success, and I have a ton of respect for them. But this album, listening to it recently, I felt a lot of themes of white America voiced, but in a way that was not ignorant. So there's other tracks, one being Shit Town. So Shit Town.
I like that podcast.
Great, great podcast. Also great track on Throwing Copper. Shit Town is about white poverty. They're from Pennsylvania. They're from rural Pennsylvania, one of the states that went red in 2016.
Really?
Yes. One of the states that was blue that went red for Donald Trump. So Live, I know, Jeffrey is shaking his head.
Fucking ridiculous.
We all are. We all are. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you betrayed
Wisconsin
the Union.
Went red?
Yeah.
Jesus fuck.
Yeah. So Shit Town is another example of Live Throwing Copper. Go back to this album. If you're listening to this podcast right now, go back to Throwing Copper. There's a lot of wisdom in this album.
Go out to your local Down in the Valley, buy that CD.
Or go to QQ Music.
No. Buy the CD. Support the band.
Support the band. Support the band. So, Shit Town is about family or what people living in white poverty, living in a derelict suburb.
Derelict my balls.
Mon capitan. Glad I was able to finish that quote. Yeah. But there's other tracks. Another great track is Waitress. Waitress is about this, you know, whatever, white trash waitress who serves them at the diner. And there's this beautiful line in the song where it's like, it's just about change. You just give her some fucking change. She gave us shitty service. The coffee was warm. Whatever. Just give her some fucking change. Everybody needs some change sometime.
Mm.
That's what it's about, common humanity. And that's why, even though I don't know that much about this band, I just know a lot about this album. I think one of the reasons this album was so successful, it sold fucking 8 million copies.
Really?
Yeah, it went 8 times platinum. It was the top of the Billboard charts. They were able to express something that was really genuine about empathy, about the common humanity of the average American.
Yeah.
And it was couched. It was the background, the context was catchy alt rock grooves, you know, channeling punk rock, channeling the Ramones, channeling Green Day, all of these other, you know, trends in music that were popular, but actually there's a lot of wisdom in this album.
Yeah.
And just listening to it recently, reflecting on my experience and also what's happening in America right now, I think it's a really positive voice.
Yeah.
For clearly the people in this band grew up in the part of America that now has become completely disillusioned, probably for good reason. The United States is full of wealth inequality and a society that has forgotten its
roots.
Its roots.
We talked about immigration.
We have talked about it. And I think that art and music is a really positive channel for people to express their voices. And again, channeling Crunchy here, what we have now in the world is a much easier distribution channel to spread those voices.
Yeah.
Instead of being controlled by MCA Records, you know, it's more local.
Yeah.
There's probably 1,000, more than 1,000 local white bands, they're channeling the same sort of positivity from white poverty in the United States right now. And I don't know about them. Fucking call in.
1-800-WHITE-POVERTY.
White poverty. You know, leave your messages on mnbpodcast.com.
Dang.
/tag just had 3 shots of vodka.
We're going to take one more shot after that. But I want to talk about, while I pour this shot, I want to talk about common humanity.
So,
I mean, first of all, what is your definition of common humanity?
I think I'm going to go back to the spiritual tip here. My favorite philosopher goes by the name of Ken Wilber, mostly inspired by Indian, Hindu, spiritual ideas.
Yep.
Consciousness is a universal oneness that is evolving and coming to a greater understanding of itself through greater evolutionary levels of development.
Okay. Give me that in layman's terms.
The Big Bang happened. Energy became matter. Matter became life.
You're like literally just adding shit. That's not even fucking layman's terms. Keep going.
Light, you're a fucking scientist. Stick with me
listening.
For a minute.
I'm listening.
We're about to have a fourth shot.
Yeah, we are.
Stick with me. Energy became matter. Matter became life. Life became consciousness. And consciousness is constantly evolving to higher levels of self-understanding.
Yeah.
We are too narrow-mindedly focusing on a very brief stage of transition in which the world is readjusting to a greater level of parity, equality amongst nations. We've lived in an era where a very small group, mostly white, European, and Americans, have dominated power. We're moving into an era where Asians are gaining more power. And I think that there's a lot of fear and there's a lot of anxiety because of that.
Yeah.
But we need to accept the fact that we are transitioning into a world where multiracial elites will rise to the top of the hierarchy. I think that by the time millennials are retiring, we're going to be living in an era where the leaders of the world are going to be all mixed-raced. I think Obama was the beginning of a trend that we're going to start to see all over the world. Because again, going back to the beginning of this podcast,
the idea of immigration,
the fact that what's happening is I'm having a conversation right now with a half Filipino, half Canadian, American. What?
I mean, I got to be ethnic. That's not an ethnicity, but...
White. Half white, half Filipino. You're talking to someone who just...
Fuck off.
Number 4. Just gave birth to a half Chinese, half Jew.
Yeah, his vagina is ruined right now.
I wish everyone could see the smile on Jeffrey's face right now. It is fucking podcast gold.
Podcast gold. Anyway, I hear you there.
You hear me clucking?
I hear you clucking, big chicken. I wanted to talk about more about how like the word common just in general would just be that it would be everyone is aware of this humanity. But that's clearly not the case. I mean, if you take a look at we're not even talking about the discrepancies that are in China. Let's talk about just America only. This shared belief and this common humanity is not a thing. Like, that's not, I mean, maybe it is a little bit, but if you get down to the, like, there's this guy that who's friends with whose brother is of a friend of mine, and his beliefs on just the different political parties is just, the logic behind it is just mind-blowing to me. I don't understand how that works. And the things that he says, or his arguments that argue against the points that a lot of the, you know, the Democratic Party is trying to make. Now, this is the, I mean, it is a semi-democratic, I mean, it's quite democratic podcast, by the way, but if you didn't fucking know that already. but it just, it literally just, it's combative of this idea of common humanity. Like, it's not, there's no commonality about it at all.
I don't see that. I see that conversation the same way that if I time traveled back to the mid-19th century, the conversation about slavery.
Yeah, exactly.
I genuinely see the march of history happening. And it's a arc that's moving in one direction that is filled with fits and stops.
Mm.
And we are going through a transitional phase right now in the world that I think a lot of people are really nervous about, because institutions that have been the bedrock of people's stability are being challenged.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that is an opportunity for those institutions to adapt and evolve. And I think that's happening. And I think part of it is technology. Part of it is a greater awareness of ethnic diversity.
Yeah.
And you can give me all the examples you want. I find so much encouragement in the hashtag Me Too trend that's happening in the United States.
I've never seen that. Me Too? What is that? Tell me more.
Gender equality, the Harvey Weinstein thing, all these women talking about sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
There is a huge shift in the societal norms of how women are treated in the United States.
Yes,
yeah, that's happening right now.
Especially with, yeah, I mean, that's
in such a positive way. Yeah. And I think that, honestly, Donald Trump being elected maybe accelerated that trend. If Hillary Clinton was elected, there may not have been this incredible tidal wave of
outpouring
of women finally standing up for themselves and saying, I want to be treated equally.
That's a really good point, actually.
And I, honestly, maybe it's because I just had 4 shots of vodka. Maybe it's just because I've got the universal spirit in me. But I just see the world in a very positive way.
Praise universal spirit.
Hell yeah! Amen.
Anyway, if you want to take a look at our discussion board, we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Just check it out on...
By the way, Throwing Coppers is good.
Yeah, it's really good as well. That's a solid
thing. Listen to it, whatever.
Do you have anything else to say about Throwing Copper? We definitely way the fuck. If Cruncher was here, we would never have been fucking 15 minutes deep, way off topic. Well, sorry about that, listeners. We'll try to be on more on track next time.
Or not.
From the 90s.
Wayne's World. Saturday Night Live.
Not.
By the way, live performed on Saturday Night Live in 1995.
Nice.
I feel like...
Ending quote.
When you... Yeah.
I mean, sorry. You keep going.
When you perform on Saturday Night Live, that's when you've made it.
Looks like we made it. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening to our podcast. We'll be back with a word from our sponsors in just 2 shakes of a lamb tail.
Bye.
And welcome back to Good Morning with Herschel and Jeffrey. I'm Jeffrey.
I'm Herschel.
And today we want to talk about, it is New Year's Eve coming up real soon. Herschel, you got any New Year's Eve resolutions?
Well, I'm a little bit wide in the waistline. I'm thinking about that Atkins diet, thinking about a little bit keto action, cutting back on those carbs.
Ooh, keto action. That is, I mean, we all got to lose some weight now, and then the year comes around, we got to start losing some weight. Myself, I'm trying to quit smoking, you know? Smoking, it's terrible. Really terrible habit. You gotta keep yourself healthy. Any other resolutions you got?
Another issue I have is, you know, excessive masturbation. Gotta cut back on feeling my own pleasure.
You have to cut back on feeling your own pleasure, really. I mean... Sometimes I enjoy a little bit too much masturbation, and then I'm shooting out dust. It's really, really terrible.
One of the things I'm trying to work on is really, I'm really tired of burying hookers in my backyard. It's really, unfortunately, a guilty pleasure of mine. If you know what I mean.
Listen, we've all got vices. I mean, shooting heroin is something that I definitely have to cut back on.
Ew.
Not to mention crucifying immigrants, you know, farmers. That's something that I probably am doing a bit too much of.
Right. I mean, I can definitely understand crucifying immigrant farmers. That is a terrible thing. I myself like to drain the blood of random victims and then shower in it. Quite the New Year's resolution. Listeners, please, I'm sure you can definitely identify for those things.
Please call in if you have any New Year's resolutions that you can connect with any of the ones that we've discussed here on Good Morning with
Herschel and Jeffrey.
Herschel and Jeffrey.
Again, here at WENIS, wishing you a happy holidays and a wonderful New Year's. And please stay away from the heroin and crucifying farmers.
Happy New Year's.
And welcome back. God, that was a fantastic message from our sponsors. Really, really do appreciate their morning show.
Listen, we lost Matt Lauer, but there's a lot of good morning broadcasts still on air.
Really, oddly enough, that morning show has like a similar name as us, but it's definitely not us. It's really weird.
Those guys are weird.
Yeah, those guys are really dumb. I don't know why the fuck they would talk about that weird shit, but I mean, good for them. Anyway, I had a great time this podcast reminiscing about Throwing Sonic. It's really a really solid podcast, and we're gonna do something a little bit different this week. In that next week is up in the air. We want to keep it a surprise. It could be us doing the same formula. Could be us doing something different. Could be us doing something totally random, like. I actually had suggested to Herschel about talking about different loaves of bread and how that was influential to my life.
Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel? I really liked that the Italian bread that had that green and red on there. You know what I'm talking about? That green
and
red?
I do know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I just want to bring back the Jewish component.
Pumpernickel is Jewish?
Challah.
Challah.
Challah bread.
Hagenstein, I believe, supports that.
I'm not familiar with him. I've heard about him. He has radical views.
He has crazy ass views.
Not necessarily the same as mine, but we can talk about that.
I'm going to talk about another podcast. Anyway, from all of us here at the Minnesota Millennial Podcast. Fuck! It's Millennial Nostalgia Berry Podcast.
Minnesota
Berry.
New York Broadcast Network.
That MNB always throws me, man. Minnesota Berry.
Minnesota, New York. Broadcasting.
Broadcast, that's right. Ooh, that's pretty good. Minnesota
New York Broadcasting.
Incorporated. Nah, I like just broadcasting.
Minnesota, New York Broadcasting.
That's good, man. We should TM that again. So many TMs.
Hashtag.
Anyway, we look forward to knowing that you're listening to our podcast and know in your heart that we love you. Sexually.
Don't be ashamed of masturbating.
See you next time.